Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks for joining us here on the program. We're going to take a look at the media, of which I've been a part of for nearly 30 years, and the aspects of spirituality in the media. I know that's just one of the subjects we're going to be discussing today with, I would actually have to refer to her somewhat as a Renaissance woman, Katie Romero with Guardian Angel Management. Stay with us. Walking and talking and working towards a level of understanding of where we're coming from. There are so many different analogies that I could use that it would take 10 hours to go through them, but we won't do that on this program. What we will do is talk about some very interesting subjects that are intriguing not only to myself, but also to my guest, Katie Romero. Katie, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me as your guest. I'm really, really excited to be on your show. I love your show. I think it's great.
Well, thank you. And you've actually been producing and hosting your own program called Spiritual Hollywood, one of the areas of topic we want to get into today. But you're also the CEO, the president and CEO of Guardian Angel Enterprises, where there is a website of guardianangelmanagement.com. And we're going to talk about that as well. You've been involved in entertainment and the media for just about as long as I, nearly 30 years.
Yeah.
And yet you have gone in such a remarkable direction. What spurred you off into this? And again, I could use spiritual, esoteric, metaphysical direction, which is wonderful because it is such a, I want to say, broad embracing of all of the different beliefs and mindsets that are out there of people who are searching and trying to make their world and the world around them a better place.
Yeah, what actually launched me on this path, if I'm understanding your question correctly, is I was born an indigo child to an atheist family, and which tells me as a little spirit before I came to this planet, I must have had a great sense of humor. And that really taught me to be fully self-expressed in the face of no agreement, because I was always thought of by my family as the odd one. I was just born spiritually wide awake, which is pretty much what an indigo is. And I just was born with a burning desire and passion to raise consciousness and improve our planet any way that I can. And there was nothing too small or too large that I can do to cause that. And I've lived my life that way since my very first earliest memories. So, you know, as an indigo, and I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who are indigo because people like that are drawn to your show, who are just really out to make a difference. And whatever is in your heart, I say tell somebody, let somebody know, ask for help, start anywhere, like in public service. You can do anything anywhere, go volunteer for something, feed the homeless, anything that you can think of to do. I was considered as pretty much a problem child because I had a very high IQ and a passion and burning desire to raise consciousness at a very young age when nobody understood that, least of all me. And the suffering that came from my childhood pushed me into enlightenment because I wanted so desperately to be understood so that I could make a difference. And I did everything that I could to cause my family to accept me, and that just wasn't working out because they didn't believe in a spiritual premise, which is not right, wrong, bad, or good. It just simply is the way that they were. And I believe, too, Richard, this may sound a little goofy to people, but it's my personal belief, and I'm writing a book called Huckleberry Memoirs based on this premise, and that is that before I was born, I know that I chose my family, my birth family, my socioeconomic status. I chose every person on my path that I would meet before I was born, including you including the listeners. I truly believe that we all can do that and that we all do that. And with that in mind, it made sense of every single thing in my life, and it gave me an opportunity to take full responsibility for what went on in my life and what goes on in my life. And I believe it's until we take responsibility for our reality, we're going to be victims or volunteers for suffering, and that's not an option for me.
Well, I must tell you, first of all, that I did get the memo from the desk of Katie Romero, be here December 25th, 2007, on a radio show, and this is how you two will connect.
Yeah.
So that's important to get those memos and read them, folks. I didn't read through some emails, and you miss a lot. You do, you really do.
Yeah.
Now, you, and one of the subjects I want to get into in future programs as well as here is that you refer to yourself as an indigo child, and that word indigo and just the concept of an indigo child, and you said it's someone who is born totally aware of their spiritual connection to the universe. Give me a little bit more of a definition.
It's pretty much where you have a very low tolerance for violence, a very low tolerance for spiritual ignorance is what's coming to mind, for lack of a better term, meaning people who aren't out to grow or make a difference in their own lives. You have a low tolerance for that. You have a high sensitivity to other people's feelings. I'm also an intuitive empath, which means I feel other people's feelings, and until I learned how to deal with that, Dr. Judith Orloff actually is an intuitive healer and also a PhD MD, and through her I learned that I was an intuitive empath, and that was why I was experiencing so much suffering, and I didn't know why I was, and I was like, this doesn't feel like the dose that I signed up for, and it's because I was feeling everybody else's feelings, and until I learned that that's what I was doing, I couldn't purposefully turn that off and use it on purpose, and I use it on purpose in my work with people as a life coach and as a co-creator of quantum hypnotherapy, and there's so many things that I love to do that it's all designed to bring a person back to their true nature, back to their divinity, back to who they were when they were born. And that is the most important thing in the work that I do. As a talent manager, the way I work with my clients is to just be the wind beneath their wings and help them to see who they really are, to step into their greatness, because life comes at you at such a force and velocity, excuse me, that you really can't see it coming, and before you know it, you're buried under it, and you forget who you are, and you forget your greatness. And we all, you know, most of us, our greatest fear is not that we're not good enough, it's that we're awesome and powerful, and that's our greatest fear. And until we learn to make friends with that uncomfortable place in ourselves, which is our greatness, and step into that, we're going to constantly be recycling old things that don't work for us and just be like an ant on a Cheerio, I like to say, who's looking for an exit ramp. You just going around and around in circles, and you know, when my philosophy is you just hop off that dang Cheerio and make your own path.
Well, I laugh partly because two of our cats love Cheerios, and every time we get a bowl, they're there putting their paws up on the edge of our bowl.
Cute.
And we have no choice. We must share with them the fruits of our bounty. I also have to say, too, on what you're discussing here, that one of the goals of this program, one of the missions, is to help people to facilitate what I like to call, and it's not my term, the greatest miracle in the world, and that is the transforming of their lives, the moving forward into that place that you've already talked about, of finding out what it is that they're here to do, what it is that they signed up to do, shall we say, as you described that you understood, hey, I was here, I chose my parents and all of the experiences, and also to make a difference in the world, but first, a difference in their world, their microcosm. One of the most fascinating things, Katie, and I'm sure that you are very much, very well aware of, is that there is the perception out there that we want to go out and change others. But the reality is that's exactly what we do when we change ourselves.
Yes, very well put, Richard. That's awesome. Was there more to that that you wanted to?
That's really the bottom line of the greatest miracle is you. If you want to change your world, change yourself.
Yeah, you be the change you want to see in the world. As contrite as that might sound, that is absolutely what does it. And I recently realized that I had become the best man that I knew. I had become the most evolved man, and I was a single woman, and I just didn't even date. I didn't even put that in my consciousness for 2 years because I wanted to work on myself. I have three husbands, and those are former husbands, and they're all my friends, and we've enjoyed looking at who we were for each other, why we were so just powerfully drawn to one another, and where it all fell apart and all of that. And what I saw was is that until I really, really loved myself unconditionally, powerfully, and like no kidding, loved myself, without ego attachment, of course, but just really became my own best advocate and unconditionally loved myself, I was going to attract an exact vibrational match to myself of what it was I was resonating and what I was vibrating, which was an insecurity and, if you will, and a not really believing in my greatness. And what I would recommend for everybody right now, there's nowhere to get. You can start right this second, right with your next heartbeat, your next breath. You can just start believing in your greatness. And as you begin to do that, you start vibrating into that greatness, and you will attract an exact vibrational match back to yourself of that greatness in people, in events, in everything that you could possibly want will shift and change because life is holographic. And what I mean by life being holographic is when you really, really get your greatness, then your whole world opens up and you stop getting traffic tickets and you stop getting red lights and you start getting more green lights and you start inspiring others to smile at you instead of grumble at you. And it's just every single thing shifts and changes when you change your perspective of yourself, when you shift how you feel about you. How everything occurs for you shifts.
You know, there are those who are listening to this program, which, by the way, is Tell Me Your Story. I'm your host, Richard Dugan. My guest is Katie Romero. She is the CEO and the president of Guardian Angel Management, but she is involved in so many endeavors that it literally is taking a lifetime for her to carry out all of these various activities in her life, not to mention the quantum hypnotherapy that we also want to talk about. She is a life coach, if you will, a quantum leap life coach, and she also hosts a radio program called Spiritual Hollywood, and we'll talk about that and how people can listen to that as well here on the program as we continue. You talk about basically mirroring, and I was, before the program, I was wandering around, just kind of getting ready for the program, which doesn't take a whole lot because I just kind of let the program go where it goes, as people know.
As do I, yes.
But the thought occurred to me that at one time in my life, I looked in the mirror, and I think it was maybe 15 or 20 years ago, and I looked at myself, and what I saw wasn't what I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds kind of strange, but you hear the terms and the descriptions of what it's like to be 20, 25, 30, those milestones, 40, 50, 60, 70, 75. I asked my father when he was 70 how it felt because I thought it was so cool to tell everybody, yeah, my dad's 70 years old. Like, it's a big deal for me. He's the one that's 70, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And his comment was, well, you know, I didn't expect to live this long, but I'm glad I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's supposed to feel like to be at those milestones of 16, 18, 21, 30, 40, 50, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm going, who is this image staring back at me?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sign to someone if they were to do that right now and say, you know, that doesn't look like I feel inside? And I mean really deep down inside, because I feel like I did when I was a kid.
Great.
So who I'm looking at in the mirror, that physical being, that's not a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about how we can, I don't know if it's necessary to somehow bridge that gap or to make the shift and start feeling comfortable with the outside of us, or if that's a sign of, hey, I think I'm on the right path here, because I feel great inside and it doesn't matter how I look outside.
Let me recap of what I think you're asking me is, how does a person get to that place where they're in touch with their childlike nature, no matter what age they are?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we're asking, yeah.
Right. Well, I get clearly that you are, Richard, and that's just so delightful. And I also am. I will be 52 in April, and I feel fantastic. I'm not even conscious of my age, and I'm very proud to say, you know, what Earth years I am, because it doesn't really matter. It's your vitality that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do with quantum hypnotherapy, if I may just touch on that for a second.
Go right ahead.
Is we bring people in 1 2-hour session back to their true nature, and it is phenomenal. We've done 154 sessions in just over a year, and we've got 100% success rate and 100% referral rate. And we recently worked with an 80s, I think he's mid-80s, year-old man who's quite wealthy, and he earned his wealth with his lovely wife throughout his lifetime, planning to enjoy it in their golden years together and travel the world and enjoy their wealth that they earned. This man is the kind of person who would do anything for a customer, and so much so that a priest came to him and said, you know, you really should convert to Catholicism, and to please the priest, he did, because he would do anything for a customer. And now he's quite wealthy, and we gave him a session because he was had lost his zest for life, had just given up, and a friend of his recommended quantum hypnotherapy because he was just so depressed, because he wanted to do all these great things with his wife, and then recently she'd had a stroke and became incapacitated. So he felt guilty for wanting to still enjoy his wealth. And, you know, what a big heart this man has, and he just got all repressed and depressed and was like, what can I do? So we gave him a session, and I'm telling you, when we were finished, this man was running around his house showing us his little electronic toys, showing us how he built a fountain in his courtyard by himself, had such childlike innocence in his voice after that, and his energy level went through the roof. His vitality was off the charts. We saw him nearly a year later when he brought another person to us for a session, and he was still in that same place. His friends are just going, I don't know what you've done, but whatever it is, I want some of that. So we're getting referrals all over the place, and now we've just been asked to go and team up with a wellness center in La Quinta, which is in Palm Springs. It's one of the most well-known wellness centers on the planet, and they've asked us to come and do quantum hypnotherapy on the weekends for their patients there to help what they're doing, assist them more, and so that they'll really wake up and get their true nature back and back to their childlike vitality. And it's just incredible the way we do this. And I have Alex Sheaf as the co-creator of quantum hypnotherapy, and he's a hypnotherapist certified at HMI, which is the only accredited school on the planet. And being an intuitive empath, I went to Alex because one of my talent that I represent gave me a gift certificate for my birthday for a free hypnotherapy session. And because I was explaining about my three husbands, and what I was getting at about that is, and I'll get back on the subject, is I had become the best man that I knew because I didn't know that I'd become a man. No wonder no men were asking me out, because hunters don't ask out other hunters, and I didn't know I'd become a man. So I wanted to go to find out in my past life who was my most previous husband to me, because mm-hmm. he proposed on our first date and I accepted, and neither one of us would have done a thing like that ever, but we had to. We couldn't help it. There was a lot of past life stuff there. And what I found was, in my past life regression with Alex, was that my husband was my son Titus back in the Greek days, and I was his mother Ananthea, and I had passed away from a fever of some sort before I was able to teach him how to take care of himself. So in this lifetime, I connected with him on that level and married him, not knowing consciously that we had this history, and my main goal was to be able to teach him how to take care of himself in this lifetime, which I actually did accomplish. And we love each other dearly as very good friends, but we also realized that our connection was from past life. And if you believe in past lives, this is the one you've been dying to live.
Mm-hmm.
But So I hope this is making sense. But mm-hmm. So in doing the session with Alex, I learned that we only use 10% of our minds. And I thought, wow, if we only use 10% of our minds, maybe 90% of it is for past life memory. And I said, Alex, I want to go swimming in that past life memory. I specialize in abundance as a life coach. How about I trade sessions with you? I'll give you abundance coaching. You give me hypnotherapy, past life regression. He goes, well, I could always use more abundance. So we started doing that trading, and he attracted abundance from everywhere. He's an inventor and a film producer, and he does all these great things. And money just started, funding showed up for him because I believe as an abundance coach that when you lack abundance, it's simply a matter of worthiness. And the lack of worthiness comes from a place in yourself that you have not forgiven yourself for something. And when you forgive yourself for whatever that thing is, which is my specialty, to discover and uncover with you what that thing is you're not forgiving yourself for, and it could be from a past life, and it could be from this life. It could be something very small, but we make these little things mean so much about who we are, and we sentence ourselves to a life of suffering because of things we're not aware of. So with Alex, you know, we just got to it right very quickly, and I said, you know what? I'm seeing this really so effective in you and so effective in me. What if we combine this? Like, my chocolate fell in your peanut butter, now we're a Reese cup. So he said, well, let's do it. So we went and we got our first person. I call him a guinea pig. But we did our first session, Richard, as if we had been doing it all our life, and we've only modified it slightly since our very first session. It's just like we are being used as vessels in a mighty way to do this work for people. And like I said, we've done 154 sessions, and all of them successful, all of them improving and enriching the person's life immensely in a quantum leap kind of way, which is why it's called quantum hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, Alex is a very gifted hypnotherapist, but also what we add to it is my intuitive empathic abilities. I go in and I absolutely hone in, and I allow my empath abilities to zero in on a person's pain and suffering, and I can see a picture of it just as clear as if I'm looking at my computer screen. I can see it. And what we basically do is we go in with their permission and agreement while they're under hypnosis and remove that old software that's like running around on the Cheerio looking for an exit ramp, that they're just keep recycling old behaviors that don't work for them. And we ask them if they're ready to remove that old software, and we, with their permission and agreement, as I said, remove the old software. And as Alex is putting them under, I'm in the corner doing automatic writing, which is restructuring their life blueprint. And after, you know, I remove the old software, I come and ask them if they're prepared and ready to install the new software, which is their new life blueprint. And they say yes, and we do that. And when they come out of it, I just simply say, Happy New You, and it is a new you. They are a new person, and it's because we've dealt with and resolved all these issues that were keeping them down like an anchor on their ankle, and we just release them from that. And it's a psychological rebirthing that is absolutely irreversible. It's permanent, and they only need one session in a lifetime.
Now, let me ask you, because one of the elements that I am a firm believer in is about knowing the truth, specifically the truth about oneself. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, the danger in knowing the truth about oneself is that one will get bogged down in that, oh my gosh, you're kidding, that was me, and I did this and that and the other and what have you. And it isn't so much about those activities, but again, about the true self that you have already described, that we try to get to the core, to the root of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as I said before, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. And that's really where you're coming from, isn't it? That,
yes.
Do you then share with them, after they have been brought out of hypnosis, all of this basic information that you've learned? Or once it's been wiped away and you've had their permission, I guess, prior, or is this under hypnosis you get their permission?
Prior and during.
Okay. So after the session is done, is there any mention of this is what we found and this is what we extracted or erased or rewrote, and you'll never have to deal with it again? Or is it just best to say, you're done, thank you very much, and go out and have a great life?
Basically, they're done with it when they come out, and if they want to have a little post-discussion, we're happy to do that. But generally, Hypnosis is a heightened state of awareness. So most people do realize exactly what we're doing as we're doing it. But what they've done is given us permission to go into their child's mind. And what's different about what Alex and I do with quantum hypnotherapy is we enter through the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious. The superconscious being the God mind, where all possibility lives. Mm-hmm. So we're getting you on every single front that you could you can't get away. You just can't get away. And people who come to us want it desperately, so they're not trying to get away. They're surrendering, and they're in this wonderful place of surrender, which is perfect. Because if someone doesn't want to be hypnotized, we won't be able to. But if they want to be hypnotized, 100% success rate. Because Alex was trained at HMI, and they are firm believers that any person on the planet can be hypnotized no matter what their history has been, as long as they desire to be hypnotized.
If you have just joined us, not only are you listening to Tell Me Your Story, but you've also missed half the program. And you've missed a great program, but I give you an option. You can go to richarddugan.com, and you can actually listen to this interview when it's completed. About 5-10 minutes after the broadcast is over, it will be available to you. And you'll be able to hear the first half of what is bound to lead into a pretty wonderful and exciting second half of discussion. Not only about quantum hypnotherapy, but quantum life coaching, and also a radio program called Spiritual Hollywood, which to me is fascinating in and of itself, because, and I'm not sure that I've mentioned this to you, Katie, but for the first, a little bit more than 15 years of my broadcast career, I worked for a Christian radio station.
Mm.
It was the best education I was ever paid for.
Mm.
I learned so many different things and worked, interestingly enough, consciously even worked through a lot of my own religious and spiritual baggage.
Mm.
and have come out the other side a survivor. Sadly to say, my general manager didn't think I was a survivor, but those are his issues, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of fun doing this program and bringing people, the guests and the topics and the discussion. And people are always wanting to follow up and get more information. They want to touch base with folks like yourselves and even Alex and say, hey, you know, this sounds intriguing. You talked an awful lot about it, but I need more information. Or I want to do this. I want to get involved. And if people are interested, what is the first best way to contact Katie Romero?
It would just go to the website, www.quantumhypnotherapy, and it's the number 2.com, quantumhypnotherapy2.com, and that's number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone number is 818-760-0759, and the website's very thorough with explaining what we treat, and there's nothing too small or large that we cannot improve or remove for a person. And I can say that with all confidence because I've seen it, and I know it. And we're using pure source, pure spirit, pure creator, pure God all the time in our sessions. And I don't mind sounding so esoteric because I've seen it. It's powerful. And we are blessed and honored and absolutely just, we get high doing these sessions. Our vitality is through the roof, just like the person we're working with, because you can't cause healing without getting healing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I share that feeling when I'm doing these programs.
Of course. I'm feeling you big time here.
It's fabulous.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Well, let's move into a realm that is obviously near and dear to my heart, and that is radio. You have a radio program called Spiritual Hollywood Radio Show. And give us the particulars, first of all, on how we can tune into this program, when it's on, where it's on, and so forth.
Terrific. I'm on every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you just go to www.bbsradio.com. Their motto is, if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. And I've had some of our entertainment industry, their greatest pioneers and stars, and the greatest spiritual rock stars of our day. Many, most of the teachers from The Secret have been on. And I just find the most incredible guests like you do, Richard, to be on every Tuesday. And I have a wonderful listening audience. We're a global internet radio show. So we have, you know, just lots and lots of listeners. And I mean, I have archives also on there. If you just go to bbsradio.com and find Spiritual Hollywood, you'll be able to listen to everything. And we've been on for 17 months. And the way this radio show came about was I was a keynote speaker at a place in Los Angeles called Spiritual Entertainment. Let's see, what's it called? Institute of Spiritual Entertainment, Los Angeles. I was their keynote speaker one evening. The room held about 50 people, and I sat down to read a book while I was waiting for everybody to arrive, and I got lost in the book. I was reading Ask and It Is Given by Esther and Jerry Hicks. So I lost myself in the book, and all of a sudden I'm hearing the roar of like a restaurant at peak dinner hour, which is actually the decibels of a jet engine. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah.
And I started hearing that, and I'm like, where am I? And I looked around the room, and I see everybody bringing chairs from everywhere, and the room was so packed that people had to sit down the hall with a speaker system to hear what was going on. And I went to the artistic director, and I said, Amanda, what's going on? She goes, I don't know. I said, who are these people here to see? There was like 200 people. And she goes, they're here to see you. And I said, why? She said, well, because people haven't seen a progressive talent manager with a focus on consciousness before, and they want to see what you're about. It's like, oh, my goodness. And I was so excited. I couldn't wait to see what Spirit had for me to tell these folks, because collective consciousness actually does this to you and every person who's in the media. Collective consciousness will put in that host's mind what is needed for collective consciousness. And what we're doing right here, right now, somebody out there, many, many somebodies out there in your listening audience need to hear this and are looking for an answer, and we're providing it because we're picking up on collective consciousness. It's just the law of physics and nature and the universe and attraction. So I started speaking about how I nearly became paralyzed as I was working on a commercial when I was an actress. I was an actress for 15 years, just a little background here. And I was a single-parent actress, so I needed to make sure that I stayed working all the time to keep food on the table and lights turned on and my son provided for. And I was working on a national commercial at 6 o'clock in the morning at the Rose Bowl, and a grip walked by who's carrying, you know, something called a high roller, which holds hot lights. And he put it down behind me as I was rehearsing on camera, and I was the what they call the hero of the commercial, the principal of the commercial. And I was just in hog heaven because this is what I was doing in Los Angeles, and I'm the star of a commercial. And it's a national, and it was great. And he puts down this high roller, and he forgot to spread the tripod feet, and it just fell over and hit me between the shoulders, which was like 35 pounds of lead, just struck me down on the ground. I mean, I couldn't have been more shocked if a meteorite had hit me. And the DP of photography, director of photography, and the director just said, can you finish the day? They didn't even acknowledge that I was injured, but the makeup man ran and got some ice, and I finished the day, and I was, long story short, I was becoming paralyzed because the whiplash crushed and shattered the disc between vertebrae 5 and 6. And my whole right arm had become paralyzed. It was in a sling. I was bedridden for a year, and I could barely take my son to school in the morning, and I cried myself to sleep each night. And I couldn't sue anybody because there was a no-fault clause in the contract. So workers' comp paid for my medical, but they had me on all kinds of medication. And the doctor told me, you know, like she was asking me to pass the salt, well, you're going to be paralyzed in 2 years, so you might as well get your affairs in order. And I'm just like, no way, I'm too young. I'm a single mom. That's not going to happen to me. And she really ticked me off because she was so callous about how she told me. And I'm glad she did that today because it made me mad. It made me want to fight back. So I started asking any person who would hold still long enough, how can I do spiritual warfare against spinal canal stenosis? It's incurable. It's inoperable. And I'm going to cure it. And I asked every person that I saw who would hold still long enough for me to ask the question, and I got such a myriad of answers. It was so wonderful how people showed up around that question. And then I walked up to a very unlikely person who was a bass guitar player in a heavy metal band. He had a mullet and everything and tattoos everywhere. And I asked him the question, told him my little story, and he goes, I know. So he said, come with me. So he took me and my son to on the Sunset Strip to a tattoo parlor, and there was a Buddhist priest masquerading as a tattoo artist who put what's called an Omani Padme Om on my right ankle, which is the Dalai Lama's most sacred symbol. He loves that symbol the most, and it's 1,000 prayers, means God. Very, very holy symbol, and I had that on my ankle. Boy, did that hurt. The best part of my son's day was when I let go of his hand after the tattoo was put on. But so I got the tattoo with the intention of healing myself. 2 weeks later, I'm at my doctor's office to get released to go get paralyzed, because they were done with me. You know, I could do no more for me. And I told the secretary, I said, you know, as I'm paying my copay, I said, this is just not fair. I just don't think it's fair that, you know, someone as young as me, a single mom, should have to be paralyzed and there's nothing I can do about it. And some voice behind me, it sounded like an angel, said, who told you that? And I turn around, there's a bunch of people in line behind me, and there's a 6'6" man, and he's standing there in line, a very attractive man too, and he said, who told you that? And I said, well, the doctor in there told me that. He goes, is that your x-rays in your hand? And I said, yes. He said, come with me. And I just was like, okay, what do I have to lose? So I went into this room, and he put my MRI up on the light screen, and he poked at it, and he goes, I can fix that. And I looked down at my tattoo, which was still so fresh, it was wrapped in plastic, and I was like, okay, what's next? And my heart was beating fast. I said, what do you mean you can fix that? He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm Dr. Robert Bray, Jr., head of spinal disorders at Cedars-Sinai Hospital, and I've developed something called titanium plate fusion. And I've done 1,500 of these surgeries, all successful. And if you have insurance and it won't pay for it, I'll do it at no charge. And I was like, whoa. And he saw my tattoo wrapped in plastic, and he says, what's that? And I told him, and he went, cool. And he did the surgery, and I have my life back, and I'm healthier and happier than I could ever imagine. And at almost 52, I feel like I have the body of a 15-year-old. I mean, I'm just really, really healthy and strong and vital. And I just believe that anybody can fight back from anything that they've been told they have to settle for. Mm-hmm. You do not. You can have, do, and be anything you choose. And it all starts between your ears. That's where your reality lives, between your ears. And I said, no, there will be no paralyzing up in here. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And I do believe there is biology and belief. And I have a Cadeism that I'll share with you. And it goes like this. It costs you nothing to believe. It costs you everything if you don't. Believing is free. You can have all you want, and there aren't any calories, so pig out. And I do.
And I do have to say, folks, that I get these Katie-isms on a regular basis every time I receive an email from Katie Romero from Guardian Angel Management.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're sitting here chatting and just basically giving you some information that we hope that you will use. We can't make you use it. We can't force you to do anything. Matter of fact, I wouldn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It is your choice to transform your life and your world just as it was Katie's, just as it has been mine over the last 47 and a half years of my life existence on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Long story, very, very short. I was born legally blind at 36, received a lens implant, and now I'm driving. But the funny thing is, before I received the lens implant, I had accepted without any emotional attachments of any kind, you know what? This is just the way my life is. It's fine. I'm going to bicycle to and from work. It's okay. I'm good with that because my purpose in life is this is what I'm doing. And then the next thing I know, I'm getting a lens implant. So it's those kinds of things that can happen in your life when you take certain positions from a mental perspective. And in my case, it was, again, the acceptance without resentment or anger or frustration or, oh, woe is me, victim, but just, hey, this is it. Okay. It's like, I have two legs. That's life. It's all I got. And so I'm going to have to just live with two legs. I mean, does anybody complain about having two legs? I don't think so. Well, then what's the point in complaining about where you are and what you have now? If you want more, it's there. And just like Katie said in her Katie-ism, that you can you believe all you want. It doesn't cost a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also go to richarddugan.com, not only to listen to this interview in its entirety, but you can also go there and go to the radio show's page, and you can also click on the Katie Romero link. It will take you to Guardian Angel Management website. And can they also get there to Quantum Leap quantumhypnotherapy2.com from Guardian Angel?
Yes, they can, but they'll have to go to the life coaching page to find that link.
Right. So let's give that web address once again. That is www.quantumhypnotherapy, and then the number 2, quantumhypnotherapy2.com. Easy enough, too, if you Google it. Matter of fact, if you were to Google Katie Romero, you'd probably find everything that this woman has done. It would take you about a week to go through all the websites, nonetheless, and you'd have a great time at it as well.
Mm.
Now, you, how did you feel when you were presented with the opportunity of doing a radio program, and did it make it any different for you that it was internet versus, say, AM or FM?
No. And thank you for bringing me back around to that. The reason I even shared about my paralyzing story is because that's what I shared the night I was the speaker at the spiritual the Institute of Spiritual Entertainment, Los Angeles, is after I finished doing my keynote speaking engagement, I mean, there were people there from the Fortune 500 companies and suits everywhere, and I was just fascinated by the array of people from every walk of life that came there to listen. And one gentleman walked up to me, and he said, "You are the most fearless speaker I have ever heard, and you have to have a radio show." And the following Tuesday, I had Spiritual Hollywood. And I didn't say, "I've never been a radio host before. I don't know nothing about birth and no baby." I just said, "Yes, bring it on." And I've been doing it for 17 months every Tuesday ever since. And I'll do it as long as I can. And I'll my number one goal, actually I have many of them, but I want to create a network called Authentic TV, all good news all the time, and just have the best programming on there, slick, entertaining, funny,
mm-hmm.
Entertainment that you just can't look away from, something that really fulfills the need and the hunger and all the infomaniacs there are in the world, and there are lots of us. Part of what makes me who I am is my father graduated from college when he was 12, and he entered college when he was 9. And I'm looking at a picture right now as I speak of his graduating class where he's sitting in short pants and his tie all askew with his feet dangling off the chair amidst a room full of adults. So my dad was incredible. He was very, very, very intelligent. So I think I inherited some of his energy genetically, and he also was a Shriner and a 32nd degree Mason. And I also recently joined the Eastern Star, which is the female Masons, to carry on his benevolence. But my dad was quite special, and Helen Hayes was in love with him, and we still have the love letters that she wrote to him. And he was a trick writer for the old Westerns and a champion swimmer. And so my dad died when I was 3, and in non-spiritual form, he has been the most remarkable presence in my life. I'm telling you, Richard, I couldn't have a better dad if he was standing right in front of me. And he's always with me, and he's always looking over me. And I just have to say, you know, during the earthquake in Northridge that happened a few years back, that was devastating to my son and I, and just tore our house down. I just, in the middle of it, I just said, "God, please make it stop. God, please make it stop." And it just kept going and going and going. And I said, "Daddy, make it stop." And it stopped instantly. Now, it could be a coincidence, but I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be, I dove on top of my son to protect him from all the falling stuff. And he was swept through the whole thing. And he said, "Mom, what are you doing on top of me?" I said, "Earthquake." He goes, "Well, that might be bad, but you're killing me. Get off of me." and we started singing songs immediately. I grabbed my guitar and I sang House of the Rising Sun and renamed it House of the Shaking One. And, it was just, you know, an interesting time. So there's been a lot of chaos and drama in my life, and I see that what I've done with that was I've turned it into the best classrooms I could have possibly wanted, and I just drank up all the information I could from it. And every single thing that I've been through in my life, I know I've walked through it, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to lead others properly out of their issues. So I'm pleased that I got to go through all those things. And I say I get to. I mean, my gosh, it's like someone, my husband actually called me yesterday, and he says, "How are you today?" I said, "I'm fantastic." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm alive." And that's what I chose. I chose to be alive. And if you're choosing to be alive and you're not living, I mean, what are you doing? Hello, yeah. Wake up. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that was the thing I was going to mention, was that you actually, from the beginning of the program, made the comment that, you had signed off on all of these various activities and people you would meet in this lifetime before you came in.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, if you decide to renege on the contract, it's too late.
Yeah.
You're in, and you're in until it ends, however it does end. Katie Romero is my guest, and with passion and purpose, she raises consciousness in the entertainment industry one person at a time, and that's you. One person at a time, you listening. One of the things that I loved about working in Christian broadcasting during that time and learning what I was learning, one of the phrases that I always used to hear in reference to the Bible was that When you would read it out loud, especially on the radio, you know, they would say that the word does, it goes out and it does not return void. And what that brought to mind was that once something is said and ears have heard it, it can't be unheard.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot extract, it's like the judge in the courtroom admonishing the jury to disregard the rantings and ravings of the witness, the attorneys, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Too late. They've already heard it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that means now you have to deal with it.
Yeah, and what I say to my clients that I work with, I just say, are you quite sure you're ready to give that issue up? Because enlightenment is not reversible. Honestly, and you can't unring that bell. And people will have to sit there and scratch their head and go, well, I don't know if I'm ready to give it up. And then I'll say, are you ready to give up not knowing you're ready to give it up? And I'll just keep at it until they're ready to give it up. And when they surrender, they surrendered, and that's it. And enlightenment is not reversible, and that's why quantum hypnotherapy really, really works permanently. And that's why you only need one session in your lifetime.
Now, tell me about the clients that you deal with in reference to, we'll say, spiritual Hollywood, now more as a term rather than the name of your radio program, and the... If we can refer to it as the direction that Hollywood is going, once this writer's strike is over, and we get back to making whatever it is that we're making on the sets of Hollywood, I'm wondering, because there's, again, I revert back to Christian broadcasting days and the criticisms of the media and how it was so liberal and it was this, and I mean, there was just all kinds of things that were thrown at the media, movies and television and radio. I'm wondering, with the interviews that I've done here, many of my guests have said that a lot of what they're dealing with today in terms of their clientele, it's all mainstream now. Is Hollywood more spiritually mainstream than, say, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago? Is it now more accepted to do television programs and movies? Or is there still a struggle within the movie-making industry, say, for example, you know, I don't know if we want to touch that subject. It's still a little too woo-woo, or it's a little too airy-fairy, or whatever the phrase you want to use.
Well, a lot of the independent filmmakers are saying they don't care what people are thinking about that. They make their movies anyway, and they make them as woo-woo as they like. And, you know, the cinema circle that Stephen Simon helped create has some of the most dynamic, fantastic films where anybody can sign up with, I think it's with Cinema Circle. Just Google Cinema Circle, and you'll be led to Stephen Simon's group of folks, and he is constantly producing and putting out some of the best spiritual films that you can imagine. Mainstream Hollywood, they're still a little bit, a little bit reticent to just jump right into the woo-woo, but I see that it's changing leaps and bounds, and I'd say that in the past 15, 25 years that, yes, consciousness is winning, and there's a momentum that cannot be stopped, and it is in our TV shows now. You can see it in almost every television series that you watch these days, some kind of reference to we are empowered and we are in the driver's seat in our own lives, and that is such a blessing to see.
Well, I personally like to see that myself, just because it's refreshing to watch those kinds of programs. I personally don't care too much for watching the news.
Matter
of fact, I happen to work for one of the local TV stations here, and I am working during a time when we have the local morning show, or not the local, but the national morning show with news cut-ins and so on and so forth. If you had asked me, so what was in the news today? I was like, well, I don't know. And I was sitting right there in front of the monitors, making sure that we were on the air, checking off the commercials and so forth. But what happened today? Now, as far as the weather's concerned, that's another thing because, you know, I like to know when we're going to get some rain to green the place up a little bit. That was something else that was kind of a sidebar here on the weather. You know, the forecasters are constantly doing just that. And they're telling us all, okay, here's what we can expect over the next 2 weeks to 6 months. And, you know, so on and so forth. Well, about 100 or so years ago, we didn't have forecasters. And so my thought was, what if we didn't know what the weather was going to be like for, let's just say, a week? How might that and the consciousness of the public and their desire, say, to have rain, how might that change the weather patterns to give us what we want?
Well, I believe collective consciousness can absolutely cause weather patterns, and that's why I would like to see a peace room in the White House and to have the person in charge of the peace room be in charge of all media so that the media would be forced to at least 50% of the time talk about what is working in the world, because collective consciousness picks up all this information on the news of what's not working in the world. They focus on that. We have more of things that aren't working in the world, like terrorism. I believe that if there was somebody who absolutely regulated the media to speak at least 50% of the time about what is working in the world, collective consciousness would pick up on that, focus on that, and create more of that. And that is just the way it works. And that's what I would like to see if I were president. I would certainly do that.
In 2003, I happened to be listening, working for a radio station in Phoenix, and listened to an ABC News radio broadcast at the top of the hour. And they'd mentioned that the, I think it was the consumer price index had gone up maybe 0.1%. Not a lot, but still it went up. And I never heard the story again. Well, why this is significant is because after I heard the story that one time, my mind started wandering and going, well, what made that go up? And I started thinking of all of the various entities and organizations and bodies that could have affected it. Was it the government? And da-da-da. And I went down the list. And, of course, it's the consumer price index. So I thought, well, it must be the consumers that did this. But if the consumers knew that they did that, then they would have the power. Well, as I said before, I only heard the story once. Now, I don't know, again, you don't believe in coincidence? Well, I never heard the story again, so all I can figure is they, for whatever reason, they pulled it and rewrote it in such a way as to not give the public the credit in case the public caught on that, oh, we did that?
Oh, yes.
We have the power?
Government would like us to remain unconscious so that we're easily led. And, you know, and that's not conspiracy theorism. It's just, I mean, it makes sense. Because look at all this entertainment we're constantly bombarded with that keeps us unconscious. So what I'm doing on this planet is to raise consciousness by using Hollywood. So this entertainment we're being fed will feed you your consciousness and wake you up.
I raised the question when the television series
Touched by an Angel?
No. This was another one, and why I can't think of the name of the show now. It was having to do with a small town in the Midwest, and there were atomic blasts, and Jericho. When Jericho came out, the first question that came to my mind after we watched the first episode was, what are they trying to prepare us for? What is going on here? Whereas Touched by an Angel or even Ghost Whisperers, which I think is a great program.
I love it.
A whole different message. Totally opposite of what, say, a Jericho or a Lost. What is it that they're trying to prepare us for? Interesting.
Right. Yeah.
I want to give out your web address again, and both of them actually, guardianangelmanagement.com, as well as quantumhypnotherapy2.com. You can also listen to Spiritual Hollywood Radio with Katie Romero at BBS. That's Broadcast Sam. I'm sure that someone else knows what those terms are. But anyway, bbsradio.com, and you can listen to Spiritual Hollywood. And again, that is Tuesday evenings?
Yes, 6 to 7 every Tuesday.
And that's 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah. And also, if I may, Richard, I'd like to give out the web address for the book I'm writing, huckleberrymemoirs.com.
That's right.
And just, you know, it's got three sample chapters on there, and the book... It's about what happened in my childhood coming through an atheist family as an indigo. And I just want people to take a look at that and to see for themselves. Until you start talking about these dark places behind those doors you don't open in your life, you're not going to let them out, and other people aren't going to be transformed by your transformation. And the only way to have your transformation is to start looking at those things that are unspeakable, those mm-hmm. things that you can't look at. Start looking at them and start talking about them and start helping other people heal from their own secrets, because we're as sick as our secrets, and I don't have any anymore. And this book tells all, and it's www.huckleberrymemoirs.com. And the way that name came about is I wrote one chapter, and I channeled it. I wrote it in like 5 minutes. Someone read it and said, "You write like Mark Twain." And I said, "I've never read Mark Twain. That's very interesting." And they said, "Yeah, you write like Mark Twain." I said, "Didn't he do Huckleberry Finn?" And they said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, these are my memoirs, so let's call it Huckleberry Memoirs."
And I'd also like to talk about your other book that you're working on as well, called The End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever. And we'll talk about that the next time we have you on. And again, I want to thank you for joining us.
Yes.
And I want to let our listeners know that next week is going to be a special program as well. We're going to have as our special guest a visionary futurist, among other things, Barbara Marks Hubbard, and we're going to be talking about the evolution of humanity. We hope that you will join us for that conversation. I find the woman fascinating, but the interview itself was just, it was a joy to do, and I will hopefully have her back on again. We will have Katie Romero back on the program again in the very, very near future, because we want to talk more about spiritual Hollywood and what's taking place in the world these days, and hope you'll join us. I'm Richard Dugan. Love to Lal. Have yourselves a great Saturday.